This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Protestations of Obama himself in his speech to children in Northern Ireland about peace. When he said, those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back. Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show right now. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. We're going to be playing a little bit of the Dave Hodges show. I was on his show the other night. And I think it's out now on YouTube, but you can listen to what we talked about here. Lots of things to talk about here on Agenda 21 Radio with Dave Hodges. The other thing, too, is that one of the stories we haven't quite covered today, but we're going to get more information on it, is that the death toll from the campfire, which was set at 86, is starting to rise because, you know, truth is starting to come out. Another 50 people considered to be death related to the campfire. But there's also those first responders that have responded, and many of them to me in Agenda 21 Radio, talking about the number of 86 is totally wrong. It's actually hundreds of people died up there, which matched really our first reportage that was going on the days. And, of course, we were up there on the day of the fire, and then we're reporting on the second day up there actually in Paradise. Sad to say, it's like a nuclear bomb had gone off. It was incredible. But we were up there, and, of course, our reportages we were seeing is that, in listening to people, was that there's a lot of life lost. So, you know, it's kind of interesting, but in Puerto Rico, they first reported, when the big storms came in and all this stuff, that there was only 60 people had died. And now, of course, they believe that upwards of 3,000 people have died. You know, are we going to start getting that kind of signaling, I guess, from authorities in the campfire? I suspect yes, because there's just too much anecdotal information out there. And plus, people who have come directly to us at Agenda 21 Radio point out the fact that there's large loss of life, not 86, much larger in the hundreds. These are people who are actually helping to remove bodies Anyway, I was on the Dave Hodges show the other night. I'm going to play some of this. I think it's very, very relevant to what is going on today. And some of you will find it very stunning, I think, to hear some of the content of this. But so be it. We're going to listen to it right now.
Hey, Dave Hodges here in the guest segment of our show. Thank you so much for staying with us. Really glad you could be with us here. This is the Common Sense Show, of course. And, you know, I'm Dave Hodges. We're the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we're in just a minute going to be talking to the president of the New California Movement that yours truly is going to be out there covering as a member of the media at the end of this month. And this movement's getting closer to fruition. A 51st state. And I know people are saying, that'll never happen. We'll have Paul address that. Actually, it is going to happen. And it's a good offset to the radical Democrats that are running California now. And they're going to just be a shell of themselves when they're all done. So anyway, before we go to Paul, just wanted to mention to you that we've got some people that pay the bills here. You can hear them working in the background. And they are preparewithdave.com, best durable food company in the world, nearly 40% off for the 2 month and our 1 month and two week. I'm tongue tied here today, folks. I got to get myself in gear here. But this durable food is just tremendous. It's restaurant quality, tastes great. And in addition, ladies and gentlemen, the sales are great. The 25-year shelf life is great. And if we're confined because of the virus, that ain't great, but you'll be ready. And there are a lot of people right now in Shenzhen starting tomorrow and Wuhan having gone on for a couple of weeks that wish they had storable food. Don't be in that boat. Preparewithdave.com is the place to go. Also, coming out the other side of any crisis will be winners and losers. And if you have gold and silver, you'll be a winner because that's held its value for 6,000 years. If you keep all your money in the bank, well, you're probably going to lose. So the good people at Noble Gold can help you understand these conversions. They can convert your investments like IRAs into gold-backed IRAs. They can do a number of things for you. So you want to give them a call. Noble Gold can be reached at 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. Tell them Dave Hodges told you to call. And then finally, where you have food, you got to have water. And you won't have trouble finding standing water. You'll have trouble finding drinkable standing water. And the Alexa Pure Pro water filter is the best there is. The research is on the website, waterwithdave.com. There's no anecdotal testimonials. Oh, I love the product. No. There's data that shows you why this is better than every other one. And they're offering their product at 40% off. So rather than price gouging you in a coming crisis, they're lowering their price. So go to waterwithdave.com. Okay, those are the people that pay the bills. With us in the green room here, as we say, is Paul Preston, the president of the New California Movement. Also, too, Paul is the host of Agenda 21 Radio, and I've been on that a time or two. And it's one of the most popular shows in digital radio. So, Paul, welcome to the show. I'm glad you could join us.
Well, Dave, it's always nice to be back with everybody here with you in the Common Sense department.
I like that, the Common Sense department.
That's right.
What's up, Paul? What's going on in your world?
Well, in my world is, of course, the New California State Convention coming up here on the 28th and 29th, and we've asked former Governor Mike Huckabee to be our keynote speaker, and he's agreed he'll be here at the convention on the 29th in San Luis Obispo at the Alex Madonna. That's the Alex Madonna Pavilion. You're familiar with the Madonna Inn. That's the location, but you go up the hill to a very, very nice pavilion that they have up there, and it's a first-class facility. We expect anywhere between 500 to 800 people, so the tickets are going very quickly, as you can well imagine. And we also have Adam Housley of Fox News, Chris Ann Hall, the constitutional attorney. She'll be there both days. Working with the gallery, in other words, educating everybody about the Constitution, which is an incredible forte that she has. She'll also address the audience about what to expect in terms of the constitutionality as we move forward to become the new state. We'll also be passing important legislation, as well as Chris Street, of course, Mr. Maestro with the money. Chris Street is the vice president of New California. He's also a prolific writer, writes for Epoch Times and been a writer for Breitbart and a whole bunch of other publications out there. He's also been an advisor to Jeff Sessions, still currently does do advising to Jeff Sessions. He's very close friends with Peter Navarro. You might recognize him. He works on China and trade with the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. So he's going to be speaking. Of course, now I'll be speaking too. So we got about four keynote speakers there that are going to be telling everybody about what's going on with New California. And, you know, we are actually making New California right before everybody's eyes. A little bit of rundown about where we are right now. We're well into the process of becoming a state. It's gone very quickly over the last 3 years, but we really started in earnest about 3 years ago. We ended up getting about 18 counties that wanted to go along with this, and then, gee whiz, all of a sudden we got 24 counties. We declared independence on January 15, 2018. A worldwide phenomena took place on Twitter for several days. We were number one worldwide. We knew we had a big hit. We then went on to start reading our grievances. We read 95 grievances over 96 weeks as part of our complaints and concerns about the failed state of California, which is now resonating all over the nation. We know that the president has read them, Jeff Sessions and Mike Pompeo, Barr, all these people have read our grievances, which are very specific to California and, of course, to the nation as well, because you have such things as sanctuary state issues. We've also managed to come together on five different occasions in constitutional convention. We've created our own state legislature, our own branch of the judiciary, and, of course, the executive branch. So we have three co-equal branches plus a bicameral legislature set up. And we're passing, so far we passed 19 resolutions. We're going to pass another six or seven at this convention plus three ordinances. We're actually governing. And we're going to be a state, I suspect that by the end of summer, we'll actually have gone through the whole state process. The resolutions have been made on the table, and we'll be moving on to the Congress for approval as a state within a year. Well, a little bit more than a year, about that time frame. Are you there, Dave? Oops.
Sorry, I had a drop out there. My fault.
That's okay.
Does the success of your movement hinge at least in part on winning back the House?
Yes. I mean, there's no doubt that, and of course, the big windfall has been what has happened with the impeachment, and we all knew that he was going to be acquitted. I didn't think that the I did think that the fall of the House of Representatives was imminent. What I didn't think that it was going to be so precipitous, the fall. I thought maybe you'd have a little bit of an incline on the hill there. But this is just like over the cliff as far as and, of course, really helped it along was Nancy Pelosi getting up there and tearing up the president's speech the other night.
Yes.
That's it for them. There is no turning back. The Democrats are in disarray, complete disarray. I think that's going to go through this way with the election. And I think that when Bernie Sanders gets to be nominated, I'm just predicting when Bernie Sanders gets to be nominated, you have a socialist who the Democrats despise. And I think that that's going to have a negative impact on the way the elections play out in the general election altogether. I think, you know, their calculations that they've already probably plugged into all the election areas and all the polling places all throughout the states, their calculations are off. I think if all the voting systems have been programmed for Joe Biden, and all of a sudden now you have a communist socialist in Bernie Sanders, what do you do? Do you wipe out all that information, all that data in those voting machines now, take care of it, or what do you hold off? I think every day that you hold off on the altering and changing back to some legal system of voting, they put themselves more in peril. So I think that I think we're going to definitely sweep the House. I say 17 seats out of California. They're going to pick up 17 more seats out of California. So it'll make it 24 out of California. Right now we only have seven members in out of 53 seats in the California House of Representatives contingent. So I say 17 seats, and it'll be up to 24. And that will put us over the top for statehood at that point. No question about it.
That's incredible. So I'm hoping I can get an invitation to the inauguration of your governor, whoever that's going to be. So I'm looking forward to it.
I make no plans on running for governor.
I haven't started calling you governor. I just said whoever right. that may be, okay? I do think you got to figure prominently in, though, Paul. I really do. But you know what? When you run for election, you got to give up your radio show. I've learned those are the rules.
Yeah, well.
Did you know that?
I don't know what rule that is, but.
Oh, no. Listen, Ernie Hancock, a good friend of mine here in Phoenix, Maricopa County, head of the Libertarian Party, he was running for, Secretary of State, I think it was. And he had a regular daily radio show. I know I used to guest host for him quite a bit. And he said, come down and guest host a lot, Dave, because they're not going to let me do it while I'm running for election. So, yeah, it was an election law here. I suspect it's one everywhere. By the way, speaking of election laws, I'm sure you saw the 8 indictments that came down for giving foreign money to Democratic candidates, including Adam Schiff and presidential candidate Amy Klobuchar. And what's interesting, too, no one's talking about this, but I dug deep into the indictment, and $4,700 went to every Democratic state committee. Can they invoke RICO, and could the Democratic Party be out of business because of this?
You know, that's a really good question. I think the question is going to come up, and there's another series of indictments, as I understand it, going forward. That I really think that, yes, you probably could make a case for that. And I think that that may be what is going on right now in the mind of Bill Barr, who, by the way, what you're talking about basically are open secrets and have been open secrets about this foreign money. There's a lot more foreign money that's going to come out also. And that's going to come out pretty soon, I think, with this whole business going on with Ukraine. But yeah, I think that there's more to come out, and I think that that what you're going to see with the there's a number of other things going on with the Democratic Party. You know, we can start talking about Seth Rich and all the other stuff that goes on there. I think that there's
Did you see the article I wrote about the FBI holding the Seth Rich emails and the trail of death that followed these?
Yeah.
Because Seth Rich didn't just find emails on the fixed election in 2016 against Bernie Sanders as the victim. He found stuff on Ukraine.
Right. And I think I was actually alluding to that, and I'm glad you brought up the whole thing about Bernie Sanders, because that's something that's really been deep with me about Bernie Sanders. And I'm not a Bernie supporter, and I don't want people to walk away from this thinking that I'm a Bernie supporter, but I am a supporter for fair play. And as my story goes, I was the guy calling out the fact out here in California in the primary, this primary in 2016 that we're having right now, which is actually in June of 2016. It was incredibly clear that Bernie Sanders was screwed by the election system when they announced that Hillary Clinton, who, by the way, probably had 10 people come to any one of the places where she went. I mean, there was no people. There were no people present. When she came out to California, I mean, people didn't care for her. Nobody liked her in the state. And, of course, everybody loved, on the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders. And, of course, you didn't even have to go for anecdotal evidence, because on every street corner for weeks before the primary, hundreds, thousands of people with Bernie Sanders signs, they were rejecting Hillary Clinton outright in California. It was a complete rejection. And I was driving at the time. I tell this story at the time. I was driving up and down the state, all the way down to, sometimes from Sacramento all the way down to Oceanside, and it was just everywhere for weeks before the primary, these people standing on corners like crazies, and you know, but they love Bernie Sanders, and of course he loses by 3 million, which was a complete farce, and everybody knew it, and of course they gamed the election system, that was completely gamed, and everybody, you know, knew it. And of course now you bring this up about Seth Rich, because it was clear with Seth Rich that they had cheated him in California and other places.
Now, the trail of death. Seth Rich is murdered, and I believe over these emails. He gave them initially to Gavin McFadden of WikiLeaks. Sorry,
right.
Brain aneurysm there. And he died too. And then, of course, looking into this whole corruption was Wisenhant, a federal prosecutor from from the same district that Debbie Wasserman Schultz is from, and she was the DNC head that shared the server with Seth Rich that hacked the emails, and he gets bludgeoned to death on the beach, and they declare it to be a suicide.
Right.
So three murders over this deal. And then, by the way, Wasserman Schultz's brother, Steve Wasserman, killed the investigation in D.C. So, I mean, the fix is in.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the guy on the beach, he killed himself by beating himself to death.
In the back
wow.
of the head.
Yeah, that's amazing. Amazing how these things happen. I mean, this is you can't make it up, guys. Ladies and gentlemen listening to the show, this is what we find. Dave's found this. A lot of people found other things part of this. And this is what you find. And when you put the whole picture together, it's almost out of the bizarre, but it's true. I mean, I think that's the biggest statement that we can always make about most of the things we find now today, Dave, is you just can't make it up.
Have you found that things that you covered 4 and 5 years ago are just coming into mainstream acceptance now?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's politically receptive now. I was thinking about this a lot today because I kind of anticipated you'd ask the question because I have been whining. I've been a whiner on the radio for weeks now. Hey, we reported this stuff 4 or 5 years ago, and now it's back. It's news, and I'm going, it's not new news. This has been around. And so I was sitting here thinking today, you know, just that the people, the public, has been so suppressed from this news and information, even though we've reported it. Now, I got listeners like you got who remember all this. And so when I sit down and talk to them, they say, hey, yeah, they're right on target. They're totally understanding about what's going on. So you've got a large mass of people who totally get what we're talking about because, you know, over the years we've been in varying ways covering these stories with varying amounts of content. Now, I do have to say that the content is richer now today than it was in terms of all details. But clearly the basic working parts, we had pretty much the information on that and the corruption in the Ukraine going forward since 2012 and 2013 when it all really started to pop out. So, and there really should be no surprise about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and all the schemes and scams that have been going on around that. Shouldn't be any surprise. And again, it's not just, you know, it's new with you, Dave, or me. This is old news. We're bringing it to light again because it's so relevant.
You know, there's one person whose name never comes up, and it should come up prominently, and that's John Brennan.
Oh, yeah, John Brennan, right. You know, I like to tell this story about John Brennan. When John Brennan became a CIA director after Petraeus in the debacle, the so-called debacle at Benghazi, you know, he was pressed into service right away by Obama, and his first assignment duty was Ukraine, and basically to overthrow the Russian-leaning government there and replace him with his Nazi buddies, his Nazi friends, and also his Muslim Brotherhood friends. So he goes off and basically creates the scenario for the government to fall and all this other good stuff, and he brings in a lot of people to help him from outside agencies. As you know, Dave, some of these outside agencies actually turn out to be state agencies from states in California and other states, military agencies that no one's ever known about or heard about.
Aren't we supposed to hold off on disclosing this until later?
Well, sure. We can do that. We can, but it's
I'm fine if you want to say it.
Well, but then it's not only that. You start to realize that there's a whole network, a whole web about what John Brennan was doing and how he was going about his business of overthrowing the Ukraine. And of course, all that network has been brought into play by a whole bunch of things, such as, Burisma. And some of these holding companies, which are nothing more than shells. And, you know, why do we have money that was targeted and gone into Cyprus and it ends up in Latvia and then it just disappears? But then we find out Hunter Biden gets some big, huge loan where he's got, you know, $83 million loan that he's getting and he's getting paid for that loan. And of course, he doesn't have to pay the loan back. What's up with that? I mean, but, you know, we're getting the details about all that now. We've knew that this process was going on, but now more details are coming out and becoming more self-evident about the whole overthrow of the Ukrainian government, bringing about somebody who's a Nazi leader under the auspices of John Brennan and Barack Obama. And, of course, then the exploitation of our own government. See, part of the problem is that when money is being transferred into the Ukraine, it was all done electronically through the State Department, and it all goes to the Ukrainian government, supposedly. But some of that money, at least at one point we were hearing, and these are numbers that came up years ago, guys, with it. We didn't make it up now, but they were talking about $7 billion just, like, suddenly disappears. You know, well, where'd that money go? Well, no one knows. But some of it went to, you got it, Hunter Biden. We know that. And so the money laundering and everything else that happened with that, which is what right now you're seeing Rudy Giuliani come out with, starts to explain that. And then it starts to explain all the moving parts behind it. You know, you had to have some logistical supplies. You had to have a lot of things moving around, a lot of moving parts to any time you want to overthrow a sitting government and control the population, control the people. And that's exactly what it ended up with John Brennan's mission. You know, one of the things, when we were identifying what John Brennan was doing at the time on Agenda 21 Radio, somebody would keep attacking our website and only take down stories about John Brennan. As you know, to me, it was kind of like, well, that's a clue. You're onto something.
I know.
Then I mean, I know you had the same problem. So, but, you know, again, that's years ago. And we look back at other history that's there. Now you got Adam Schiff involved. Now you got Nancy Pelosi, Paul Pelosi, a whole wide spectrum of people that are involved. And we didn't bring that about. This is reporting that's been done for a long time in a lot of different areas. And there's going to be more. There's going to be more that's going to be brought out. And, of course, the Senate, as you know, Grassley is just all over this. And they're going to be bringing out a lot more details that are, I'm sure, going to be reported to John Brennan. I'm pretty sure John Brennan knows those details already.
John Brennan is at the focal point of the overthrow of Ukraine. And I guarantee you, I don't know this yet, but, you know, you get a sense for a story. I wrote a story this last week where I detailed, through mainstream media releases, I pieced together the puzzle that showed arms from Ukraine, pay for play, Clinton Foundation to large Ukrainian arm dealers, using the Awan brothers, go to Pakistan, and then into Iran. And guarantee you, Brennan was at the heart of it. Guarantee you.
Guaranteed.
I just haven't connected it yet.
Well, you know, one of the places, I have several sources, and, you know, one of the places that they've been looking at really hard now is, of course, WikiLeaks. And lo and behold, WikiLeaks has just about every detail about any transaction that has gone on in Ukraine in this time frame. And it names names. It names personnel. It names even Amazon billing addresses. And, of course, some of these individuals that were on active duty in the Ukraine during this time frame helping to overthrow a government that were actually state players, state military, which is kind of interesting. A governor was addressing and causing orders to be generated for somebody in a foreign land. Now, I want people to grasp that, because this network is in about 34 states around the nation. 34 states have been influencing foreign policies in other countries by way of their governors. Shocking. But this has been going on for a long time. And, of course, it's something that helped facilitate, clearly, Benghazi. It helped facilitate activities in Morocco, in Latvia, in Georgia, and, of course, the Ukraine, big players in the Ukraine, even up until February of 2017, right after President Trump was inaugurated. These are just a few of the areas that are about to come out in revelations. And by the way, listen, people, you can run, but you can hide. But you know, you can't hide, because here's the deal. It's all public information. It's all out there. It's you know, it's on WikiLeaks. It's on Wikipedia. It names names. It's got phone numbers and addresses. I mean, it's shocking the number of people, thousands of people, military people that are going to be implicated in this whole mess, and they know it.
Yeah, and here's why I just love doing shows with you, because we get to compare notes. It's so cool.
I hate it when this happens.
The day of the acquittal for the witch hunt, it was announced that Senator Grassley and Johnson, two separate committees, were investigating Hunter Biden's travels to the Secret Service, and they made demands for travel records aboard Air Force One and Air Force Two. So Obama and Joe Biden, and they were looking at travel to Ukraine. And here's where it gets interesting. In China. Now, I uncovered information, I published it, that Hunter Biden helped facilitate transfer of F-35 technology to the CHICOMs. But I think they're looking at something more recent.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any inkling of what I'm talking about?
Well, I think you've got some missile technology, and I definitely think you've got some transfer of uranium and that, you know, radioactive materials just to start off. But I think you have some stealth equipment and other things that they've been transferring. It's going to all come down to Hunter Biden for sure. Absolutely. And Joe Biden.
I agree. And I think Clinton's pay for play and Clinton Foundation is involved in this. But
yep.
I'm even going to go a step further. To me, that's low-hanging fruit. I just got a feeling. First of all, the Chinese aren't good bioweapons experts. I think they had help to do what they're doing. I mean, I know it's speculation, but you got Biden, and you know he transfers technology to China. Any chance you think he's behind, or the Democrats in somewhere behind bioweapons transfer to China?
I believe absolutely that they're behind it, and I think that they use a lot of facilitating agencies to help them along. And I think that when you start to take a look at these military organizations that states have established that are well beyond the constitutional authorities, going to other states, and the governors have been giving orders, military orders, that's apparently supersede the president in a foreign country. You know, what's wrong with that picture? And, you know, we know that there's been arms smuggling and smuggling of all sorts activated and promulgated by these agencies. They've used the Allied mailing system, you know, Allied uniform mailing system, whatever it's called. I can't remember the name of it, to facilitate a lot of this. And, you know, it's prompted investigations in a lot of ways. And some of these investigations on the United States have been stymied, obviously, by state government. But when you have a sitting governor such as Jerry Brown giving orders to people in other countries acting on his military behest and not the president, you got a problem. You got a real problem.
That's a violation of the Logan Act.
I mean, it's treason. It's flat out treason.
And,
you know, you've got a lot of arms, and let's go to Benghazi. You know, that's something I know of because I've interviewed those guys. And, we spent a lot of time, Chris Street and I, figuring that whole thing out. And we were, you know, somewhat thanked and so on by the producers of the movie 13 Hours for our help. You know, we knew what was going on from the first 18 hours, which, by the way, has not deviated from the movie or other things that have facts and information that have come out. But, you know, when you have an active military group from the state of California in Tripoli, 1 month before Benghazi, and they're a military group. Let's be very clear. They're an activated state military group. When they're over there 1 month before Benghazi happens, and what we're hearing is that they were gathering up weapons to be shipped off to Turkey, 800 tons worth, to Turkey, and then Benghazi happens, and then Christopher Stevens, a Californian, I might add, gets killed. I mean, you have to start wondering, you know, where did that order come from? Well, that order came from Jerry Brown. You can't make this stuff up. And then they send off 40 of the members off to Niger. So this is 1 month before Benghazi. And, of course, we all know the progression of how they brought security and took security away from, you know, the compound and also where Christopher Stevens was. It was a clear setup for an assassination. And why is that? Did Christopher Stevens know about the California Military Reserve and orders by Jerry Brown?
Uh-huh. That's pretty controversial. Let me tell you what I've got on that organization. I know they were in Ukraine in 2014. They were there as per a NATO document.
Right.
We can only speculate as what they did, but what makes you think they were in Libya?
Well, in Tripoli, we have the orders. It's all on Wikipedia.
Oh, you do?
It's all on Wikipedia.
Oh, it is.
I mean,
okay,
either Wikipedia or WikiLeaks. Yeah, they're public source documents, guys.
Okay.
You can't make it up. This is stuff that's just out there in the public. People just have to look. Now, I know what they're going to do. They're going to sit down there in Sacramento and try and plug every leak they can get. It's done, guys. Forget it. It's over. We know about the whole scam and the whole system, and it's just all going to come down on you. And listen, that's your own doing. These are public documents. We are not the only researchers who've looked into this. You know, now the, all of a sudden, other people, it's spreading. It has spread. You know, it's not, hey, they've done it to themselves. There was a reason why Jerry Brown was elected for a third and fourth term. You know, that's something else people don't realize. Jerry Brown had a first term as governor in the 70s to the 80s, back-to-back terms. And again, what's really interesting is that during that time frame, Jerry Brown and the California Military Reserve all of a sudden, bink, popped up on the world stage. Shocking. Now, why is that? And then it became most active during, of course, his third and fourth term as governor from 2009 or 2011 on to 2019. And then you got Gavin Newsom, who's given the orders today.
Interesting. And I thought it was and this is a point I raised in a video I did. I thought it was unconstitutional for a military organization to exist that the end point for authority is the governor and not the president. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
The guy who gives the orders is the president in any international, but you're actually dispatching through the California government a contingent of military folks to go to another country under state orders to go to another
violation,
country.
Violation, yeah. Violation of the Logan Act again.
Yeah, and they're going to say that's for training and all this, and they all match, they all disguise it as training, but when you get down to it, that's more than training in a lot of these circumstances. It's way more.
Well, I issued a public request for anyone on their show, the organization, I should say, to come on my show and defend the constitutionality of the arrangement that they operate under, because I don't think they're constitutional from what I see. And so I'll add these to the question list should they decide to take me up on that offer, because I don't want to convict people unfairly. But as you say, there are documents on Wikipedia, WikiLeaks. I found the one in NATO on Libya. They're clearly operating outside the United States. And for what purpose? Well, I'm not sure I know, but I'd like to ask them.
Well, you know, if what we're saying is not true, straighten us out and tell the truth. Tell us your
That's
side
what I'm
of the story.
That's saying to them. Exactly what I'm saying. Because
please.
The roads, I mean, the evidence tends to lead us down to a suspicious road. And I want to give them the opportunity to come on my show, and I'm sure you'd welcome them too, and tell their side of the story and be ready to answer some hard questions.
Right. And, you know, just an answer, of course, they're not good at being honest. So, you know, there you go. But let them come on, and I'll more than happy to let them have the time to do that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, when I first ran my concern, when I showed how they were involved in Ukraine, they were livid. At least members were. We've never been to Ukraine. That's not what the document says. We've never, and I got total denial. And then when I said, come on the show and talk about it, silence. Silence.
Well, you know, and they've got, there's other parts of this. It's just, you know, they get retired military individuals who become part of the California Military Reserve, and they give them various ranks and they get extra pay and all this other good stuff, and pretty soon they realize they're double dipping and the money is really good. And I mean, it's a scam. That's the other part of it, is the money scam. And I don't want to take up a lot of time talking about the money scam. That's just something that's going to come out, and it has been coming out. It actually has been investigated several times by the Sacramento Bee and other agencies in 2006 with the Air Reserve and all that other thing. So, yeah, it's quite a little thing going on, and I don't see them escaping it, because it's all out there. And like I said, WikiLeaks has it. The detail it gets down to the names and the home phone numbers. We've checked into some of the addresses, and like, oh my God, These are people that are your neighbors next door type thing. And but it's literally thousands of people who have been involved. And pretty soon they're going to start talking to, you know, probably Bill Barr and his group. And that's not our doing. That's just, you know, a lot of this stuff is prompted by we go and take a look at the investigations that are ongoing, or we find out that there's an investigation. And then we go and look for ourselves, and it's like, holy moly. And some of this, Dave, is right there in front of your face. You can't deny it. I mean, it's not that we're just doing, we're super sleuthy. It's there.
You're describing what we find a lot in a lot of research that we do is, if you know where to look, first of all, 80% of all intelligence is open source. And if you know where to look, it's easy to find and to interpret.
Yeah.
Well, I think that to move away from that organization now for a second, let me ask you a question here. And I know you're going to thoughtfully consider your answer. I'm going to say some names, and I'm going to ask you if they're capable of a deed. Assuming my hypothesis is correct about Hunter Biden and the potential transfer of bioweapons to China, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, and good old Adam Shifty Schiff, do you think that they're capable of doing such a horrific thing to their own citizens?
Oh, yeah. I think you have some people that are really desperate, and I think that these people are could possibly be set to do disastrous things and you know, very evil things to Americans. I don't believe they care for America or Americans. You know, we've seen the result of it, and I'm speaking as a Californian, and why we're doing all of New California. People need to understand, this is this is a life and death struggle for the survival of this new California state and the people who live in California. These people are reckless. They don't care about life. They don't care about anything that goes on in this state relative to the citizens. They don't care. They'll do anything to remain in power. Anything.
So you think that perhaps, well, let me give you one operating theory that's out there, and some of the intelligence community have brought this forward to me. They think the Chinese released a bioweapon on themselves, plausible deniability, but the real goal is America, and they want to thin out their own population anyway. And if they can bring the virus to America and cause economic destabilization, maybe they help get Trump unelected because they take away his major campaign chip, which is the economy. The Democrats and their cronies in Ukraine would be all too happy to help that, because this is their last-ditch effort to gain control of the White House. Is this lunacy, conspiracy theory talking, or do you think there's any legitimacy to it?
Well, let's see, and I want to put this in perspective, is that we have just seen a continuation of 3 years of at least three different attempts to have a coup d'etat against the sitting president of the United States, who, by the way, has weathered all of them. What makes you think, what makes anybody think, they wouldn't do something even stupider as to do something such as with a bioweapon and cause massive death? That is something, by the way, we have been hearing about as part of their plan for years. And it goes back to this, you know, here we are now, it's relevant, it's 2020. I thought it was really relevant in 2013 and 14 when we were actually talking about this. But here we go. The stage has been set for a lot of different things, including the coronavirus and the number of deaths and so on. But, you know, a lot of people don't understand. We had Chris Street on the show on Friday to talk about a number of things. One, coronavirus, the number of deaths and what's been going on. He's a specialist in China. He works with, Peter Navarro and so on. So, and he goes to China quite a bit. But he brought up a couple of interesting points. You know, you could really help to stem this whole disease if the Chinese would just wash their hands. He says 23% of the population don't wash their hands. Well, you know, most of the viruses we're discovering is actually spread through contact. So even doorknobs you can find the virus on. He brought up something that was really stunning. He says, don't be buying anything from Amazon, because the two-day shipment from China you don't know where the hands have been for the products that have been handled. You could still have the coronavirus on those products. And that's a fact.
Oh, my God.
Think about that. I mean, that's just absolutely stunning. But, you know, he goes on to make a further point in that the Chinese supply chain for manufacturing and so on has been completely shattered. You know, yes. When this whole thing broke open, they had a three-week holiday coming up. Well, and normally what happens is that these manufacturers and industry giants, they build up an inventory of at least 3 weeks inventory so that the supply chain is not disrupted worldwide. Because, you know, you have products and parts of products that come to this country, they get reassembled and so on. And any breakage in that supply chain means, you know, economic distress like crazy. Well, the problem is that we now have they've eaten up the three-week supply chain. Now you have all of your workers being sequestered in their apartments. You know, the way they do business there is that they bring in people from the rural areas of China and they put them in stack and pack housing. You know, 12 to 30 story buildings where that's where the employees work, and it's like a company town where this big building houses thousands of people who don't wash their hands and they go off to work every day in the factories. Well, because of the disease now, they have not been able to go to work and produce the products that they need for the supply chain. So now you've got a double whammy. They've used up the three-week supply chain that they did for the vacations, and now they got nothing because the employees can't go to work. So we're going to start to see here in this country real disruptions in supply chains for products, and that's going to be a big, big negative, not yet just on us, but it's certainly going to be a negative on China. But for New California, by the way, it's a wonderful thing because what that does is it puts California out of debt quicker or into debt quicker and out of business quicker and means that New California will start to rise to the surface as an option, a viable option, economic option to California. And that's where Trump, I believe, will start to declare the Insurrection Act against California.
I think you're right. And great minds think alike, Paul. Because this morning I did a podcast on on the supply chain chaos is what I called it. And I said so many of the workers can't go to work. The factories are shutting down. And you know what one of the major industries is? We get a lot of our medicine from China. That means that diabetics or people on heart medication or whatever it would be are going to have trouble getting a lot of their medications.
That's right.
Wow.
That's exactly right. And so we're in for the rocky road. You know, remember when we were talking about the Oroville Dam and what that would do to supply chain if they wiped out the northern part of the Central Valley all the way down to Sacramento and you disrupted Interstate 5 and 80 and 15 and 50. What that would be like is a disaster for the rest of the United States. And, of course, then the loss of food for the rice-producing area. This is something that would rival that. So the question is, you know, is there going to be a loss of the Oroville Dam? That's another part of the equation, because clearly the spillway, which they've all been touting as something is super safe and they fix, is leaking like a sieve. It's got major issues. The substrate soil that it sits on, it's been pummeled by all the explosives that they use to move rock around, which it should never have done. So they have the water level hasn't risen up to the spillway yet, but it's moving there. And, of course, it's leaking like a sieve, like a sieve. I mean, there's no hiding it now. They just can't even hide it, and they can't stop it. So you've got a fragile spillway. I suspect that if they want to pull the plug on that, they'll do so in the springtime when the snow melt catches up to the water level. And if there's some sort of political motivation for them to bring the spillway down and flood the area, they would do that. I don't put anything past these people. They're ruthless monsters.
You know, it's funny. You're like reading my mind several times tonight. My last question tonight was going to be about, well, are the Democrats desperate enough to basically do something to cause the Oroville Dam to fail before the election?
Well, what was very, very clear is that they were very eager under Jerry Brown's tenure to actually make it happen. That there's no doubt they were caught off guard by a county sheriff who stepped up and pulled, like he said, I pulled the big red lever and saved 2 million lives. And he did. This time, yes, it's more of a planned approach to this destruction of this spillway. And it's very, very clear the spillway is in danger right now. They spent upwards of $2 billion to, quote, try and fix it, and they ruined it. It's not repairable. They have to tear it all the way down to restart it. Right now it's extremely dangerous. It's leaking like a sieve. They can't run water over the top of it. If they do, they would violate its integrity. It would eat up that dam in 30 minutes.
So you're saying this could have a spillover effect, pun intended, to the dam and cause the main part of the dam to fail?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow, that is, man. And we've covered the destruction before, but 2 million people, yeah, that's I agree with that. And the destruction of so much food supply, stopping the retail crossing, you know, over California. Yeah, I mean, we've been through that. And you just wonder, would they do this to stop the election? Do you think this could stop the election with this kind of catastrophe?
I think so. But I think what's going to happen is I think that the Trump administration, you got to remember something that happened here just, a little 2 days ago, is that Mike Pompeo came out as the Secretary of State and for the very first time ever spoke to the Council of Governors, and he warned them about Red China. And he came out and told them point blank that these people have infiltrated your states, and they have basically, they've got ill intent, and many of these governors know it. And he called them out and said, you know, you can't let this happen to your state, that the political whims of a nation working through surrogates in your own state, modifying your policy, having an impact on not just your state policy but federal policy, is not in the best interest of the United States. And of course, you could see them all sitting there. It was really kind of interesting. These governors were sitting there looking at him like, yep, you know, you're telling us exactly what we do know. And, yep, if we keep talking to the communist Chinese, yep, they're going to destroy this country. You could just see it on their faces. So the first time in this nation's history, Mike Pompeo called him out on the communist Chinese threat. In no place is it more of a threat than in California. Because everybody in California, in the political positions that they're in, are sold out to either the communist Chinese or to the Mexican cartels. Almost every politician in Sacramento, if you're an assembly member or if you're a senator and clearly the governor, is beholden to these people. It's corruption upon corruption upon corruption. And for the first time in American history, Pompeo called him out on it for the very first time. To me, that was epic. I think this is setting a tone. I think that in the next, by April, I think we're going to have a major, major series of events that are going to occur. They're going to put a stop to the Chinese, going to put a stop to all this craziness in California. And by the way, the liberals and the extremists will be running for cover if they already haven't found cover in a jail cell.
You know what makes sense now? When I brought up earlier, the foreign payments to state Democratic committees.
Yep.
This gives leverage to act against the Democrats right there, because it's the Democrats that are in bed with the Chi-Coms.
Right.
Them and Mitt Romney, including Mitt Romney. Mitt? By the way, Utah is looking to recall him.
Right. Pierre Delecto.
Yeah. Anyway.
Isn't it? Well, we're going to have to end it here because really appreciate being on with Dave Hodges and having the opportunity to lay out what's going to be in the future for New California and, of course, the United States. It's kind of a difficult time for people to understand that this is all going on around them right now, and we're seeing some more foundational work by the Trump administration for the next several months to take action. And really what's going to happen. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. And again, shout out to Dave Hodges for having us on. Remember, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.